Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Something about calling on that name. The Bible says demons tremble at the sound of the name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's something about when you release the name of Jesus into the cosmos, into the atmosphere, things begin to happen. I wish I had me one or two, maybe two or three or four that believe there's something about the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for your goodness and your mercy toward us. Amen. I am here at this time just wanting you to know that when we call on the name of Jesus, anything wonderful can happen. Amen. Anybody believe that? Yes. Amen. We're going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 8, and then we'll go back and we'll look at the account a little bit more in depth. If you have your Bibles, please stand as we acknowledge the word of God. And if you're here and you can't stand for whatever reason, we understand that, because sometimes these bodies don't do what we need them to do. And so we also ask, if you're here and you don't have a Bible, all you have to do is look up on the screen and it will share with you the very words that we're reading. So please, at this time, allow me to read these scriptures in your hearing as you read them silently. In Genesis 22, verses 1 through 8, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." Verse 4 says, "Then on the third day," somebody said the third day. I want you to get that in your spirit, because I'm going to talk about that. Third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And I just want to drop down to verse 14, and we'll explain it again later. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this very day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Eternal God, we are grateful and thankful to you for the gathering here today. We realize, Lord Jesus, they could have been a lot of other places, but YouTube, Anchor, and Lord Jesus, Facebook have decided to tune in. We ask you, God, that there be a word that will convict, convince, and convert the hearer today, whether they be in person or in live stream. And Lord, your servant desperately needs your anointing, for it is through your anointing that yokes and fetters and chains are broken. So, Lord, I need you now to anoint me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Let your anointing come forth that, Lord, souls will be saved. When all of this is done, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say, in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, just want you to look at verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. I want to minister to you from the remaining time that I have from the thought, when the Lord sends you, he will provide. When the Lord sends you, he will provide. Now turn to that person next to you and say, neighbor,
the Lord
will provide. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, if you would, I've read the scriptures in your hearing, but I'd like to go back and, if you would, allow me to expound somewhat on them. As we look at the fact that in the book of Genesis, God is dealing with a man by the name of Abraham, the father of the faithful, as it's been said. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. The word tempt there means that he tested him. See, every now and then, life has to test us. God uses situations and conditions in life to test us and see what we're made of. And so God had tested Abraham at this particular junction in his life. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Is anybody making yourself available to God like that? And then he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, you've got to go back into the account and realize that Isaac was the child of his dreams. He waited and waited, and he and Sarah had both got up in the age. When you talk about 190, you know, you 190, and now y'all have a child. That had to be God. Nobody, say, listen to me. They didn't have Viagra and all that stuff. This was God. No, you couldn't say that. It's God. And so now we find that here is Isaac, the son in whom he loves. You got to understand, if you waited all of these years to have him, you better believe they were like that. They were tight. You know, let me use my imagination. But, you know, in our days, you know, to kick it with your son, you might want to go play some catch. You might want to toss a football. You know, you do a whole bunch of things. I can imagine him just building this relationship with his son. And so God knew, and he said, it's thy only son. He said, that thou lovest. And he said, get it. Thee into the land of Moriah and offer him up for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, it was clear to Abraham what the assignment was. Now, only Abraham knew what the assignment was. Nobody else knew. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I want you to hear this. After God spoke to him, he didn't tarry. He was right there early in the morning, saddling up his ass. And he took two of his servants with him, two young men with him, and Isaac, his son. And they cleave the wood for burnt offering. And he rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I'm here to tell you, what has God told you? Don't forget, where God sends you, he will provide. He done told you to do something, and you're still sitting here. Got up. And the Bible said, then on the third day, bruh, sis, 3 days journey to get to this place. And then you see when they finally get there, the Bible says when he saw the place afar off, so they still hadn't got there. What I'm trying to tell you is in a day, there's called 24 hours. He had three of those 24-hour days that he could stop and think about the assignment, what the mission was at hand. Can you imagine for 3 days walking with the one that you love, knowing that there's something that has to be done? So for 3 days, this is the situation. Abraham lifts up his eyes and he sees a place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Now listen to what he's saying. Two of us are going. But I believe in his heart, he believed two were coming back. Because he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I believe Abraham had in his spirit, you know what, God? If you do have me to go through this, I know you're a God of life. Nowhere in the Bible have you ever required a human sacrifice. But if I'm the first one, one thing I know, if you bring it to the point of death, you're going to have to raise them up. That's where that faith came in that statement. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. You see, the next thing that we're going to hear, Isaac is going to speak to his father, and he's going to say to him, my father. He said, here am I, my son. Don't forget, the Bible said to train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he's old, he will not depart from it. We understand that even back in the Garden of Eden, Adam told his son Cain and Abel how to make a proper sacrifice. It requires blood. So his son was well equipped and understood what needed to be done. So he says, my father, he says, behold the fire. You got the fire. I got the wood. But where's the lamb? Where's the most important part of a sacrifice? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now listen, verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Turn to the neighbor and say, neighbor, the Lord will provide. See, where God sends you, he will provide. And so he says, my son, God will provide himself. We're going to talk about this, but you got to understand that he is going all the way beyond time to say there's something coming down that you don't know. It's going to step through 40 and two generations. It's going to put on flesh and become human. So I'll have the sacrifice I want. It says God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now from here, you know what happens. The Bible says that Abraham took and built the altar, put everything in place, all of the wood strategically how it was supposed to be. And then the next thing the Bible says, he took Isaac and bound him. Travion, come here. See, these kids, when they were younger, they was little. And I could kind of manhandle them. But now they done got to be big. Got some definition there? You chiseled out? But now can you imagine? Now Isaac is now a grown man, a young man, strapping, been pumping weights. And you gonna tie me up? Nowhere in this account do you see where he said, "No, Dad, ain't going down like that." Thank you, son. You know what he did? He stood right there and let him bind him and laid him down on the altar. The Bible says that he took a knife, lifted it up, preparing to do what he said God told me to do. And as he lifted up the knife, the Bible said out of heaven, an angel, a voice came and said, "Abraham, Abraham." Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, I submit to you, God knows your name. Oh, yes, he does. He called him Abraham, Abraham. And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do thy son no harm." It was only a test. I wanted you to see what you were made of. So he said, "Do thy son no harm." And the Bible says Abraham looked up, and in the thickets there was caught a ram by his horns. And God said, "That's the one. That's the sacrifice." So he goes and he takes that substitution, and now he offers him up to God. And that's where we get in verse number 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be. Now, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, the word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Somebody say it. Come on, say it like you mean it. The word Jireh in Hebrew means provide. It also means see to it. In Genesis 16 and 13 lets us know that he's the God who sees. Oh, yes, he does. He sees exactly what you're going through. He sees exactly what you need. The Hebrew word Jireh means not only to provide, it also means to perceive, to experience. Our Lord is the God who provides because he's also the God who perceives our needs. Somebody say, he knows exactly what you need. I told you, if he sends you, he will provide. He's the God who perceives our needs, the God who experiences what we are experiencing, and who can therefore provide exactly what we need. Anybody in here have a need? I know if I would ask Facebook, if I ask YouTube, and I could see through the lid, I see hands raised. We all have needs. But guess what? He said in his word, Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Don't know if you ever checked it out, but the last time I checked, heaven was not bankrupt. You know how some of these banks are defaulting and you're trying to get your money out? They said, "Too bad, so sad." That ain't the case with heaven. He said, according to his riches and glory, they're waiting on you. But believe it or not, our greatest need, however, as humans, is for salvation. Forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. You see, the story of Abraham offering Isaac in Genesis 22 is more than just a dramatic illustration of faith and obedience. We see that woven throughout the text, faith and obedience, but it's more than that. Somebody say it's more than that. It's a preview of the salvation that God has provided us in the great sacrifice of his only begotten son on the cross.
Let's talk about this a moment. Jesus, Jehovah Jireh on Calvary. The God who provides did what he asked Abraham to do, only more so. See, one thing about a leader leads. Everybody here in New Life Ministries that are part of leadership, you know that a leader talk back to me. So God is never going to ask you to do something that he wouldn't do. So he asked Abraham, Abraham, I need you to prepare to sacrifice your son. The reason why he could do that, because he knew what he asked Abraham, he was going to do that and more so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, brothers and sisters, God asked Abraham to give his beloved son, Isaac, but, everybody say but. But's a conjunction, find out the function. But God could ask this only because he would give his only begotten son, Jesus, to be offered up as a sacrifice for our sins. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned our own ways. And he put on him our sins. Isaac's life was spared. Come on, you know it. His life was spared. Why? Because there was a ram stuck in the thickets. That ram became the substitute, if you please, who spared Isaac's life. He didn't die on that day at that place. But on Calvary, there was no substitution. Somebody say, no substitution. No, there was no substitute. Jesus paid it all. Oh, all to him I owe. Sin, it left us all in a bad shape. But thank God he just washed us, cleansed us, and made us whiter than snow. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God who died for our sins. When Isaac asked, where is the lamb? Abraham replied, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. That faith-filled statement echoed down throughout the eons of time into the New Testament by John the Baptist. Exclamation, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Anybody glad about that? He took our sins and washed them whiter than snow. Now, let's talk about Jehovah Jireh and you, and you, and you. The Apostle Paul says, he, meaning God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how should he not with him also freely give us all things? That's found in Romans 8:32. You see, God has provided our eternal salvation by giving the greatest gift. Somebody says the greatest gift. That he could give his only begotten son to die for our sins. And so Paul says this, having given the greatest possible gift, God will surely also fully provide for all of our needs, even our small daily needs. He knows what we need. Anybody believe that?
Amen.
He knows what you need before you need it. And he will provide. You see, he is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. I want to just give you another illustration in the Bible that where God sends you, he will provide. Now, again, I think there are so many different passages of scripture in the Bible that we could look to and turn to. But I want to invite your attention to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And many of you know this account, but I think it's worth going back over and reiterating to you. Remember that Elijah met Ahab, and he declared unto Ahab that it shall not do nor rain will fall for 3 years. And he said, because I spoke it. The Bible said he spoke it. You've got to understand the power of your words, the power of the tongue. The Bible said that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. But there are times when we use our tongue to declare some things that hadn't even happened. You speak things as though they already were. And he told Ahab, listen, Ahab, you don't have to worry about no dew, no rain for the next 3 years. None of it's going to happen. And after that, God said, hide. You know why? Because Ahab was the king. He said, now go and hide by the brook Cherith, and I will provide for you. See, don't forget, where God sends you, he will
provide.
Tell that person, the Lord
will provide.
So he said, now go to that brook. And the Bible said what God did was something very unusual. He took the raven, that old dirty bird, a scavenger, and he, thank you, Jesus. The Bible said he used the raven to feed Elijah. In the morning, he brought him bread and flesh. In other words, he had a sandwich. Here's your sandwich. And then in the evening, he brought him bread and flesh. Here's another sandwich. And then because he was at the brook, he was able to drink. But the Bible said one day, the brook ran out. Isn't it amazing how your words can even stop what you consider your blessing, your daily provisions? His word said that for 3 years. I don't care what you do. No dew, no rain. So now the brook dries up. You think he's worried about it? No. Because where God sends you, he will
provide.
Talk back to me. The Lord will provide. So you know what he did? He said, now, this is where I want you to go. I want you to go to Zarephath in Zidon, which is belonged to Zidon. And there you will behold a widow woman. I have commanded her there to sustain thee. Now, you know how we would be doing. Now, Lord, I know you good, and I know you able. But why are you choosing a widow woman? Somebody that's broke. God, on fixed income. Anybody? I'm just trying to make this thing live. Fixed income. And you saying that's going to sustain me? The Bible said when he went there, lo and behold, in the gate, he saw the widow woman. The Bible says she was picking up sticks. And so he said, hey, excuse me, ma'am. Could you do me a favor? Could you get me something to drink? Now, a lot of times we just, you know, glaze over that. Don't forget they were in a drought. Water was hard to come by. But just like today, pretty much people will give you some water. They'll just give you the water. So the Bible says she went on her way to get the water. He said, oh, excuse me, ma'am, but while you're going, fix me a little cake. Now, right about now, the widow, she probably, I don't know if there's anybody there with her, but I don't know. Do you know what's wrong with this fella? Did anybody tell him we in a drought? In the boot, we don't have no food. So she said, excuse me. As God, the God of Israel, he knows that I don't have a cake. And she wasn't lying. She didn't have no cake. Because he said, go and fix me a little cake and then come back. Bring me the cake. She said, I'm sorry. I don't have a little cake. What I do have is some meal and a cruise of oil. And what you see me doing? I'm preparing to get these two sticks. Make me a fire. Me and my son, we're going to eat the cake, the one cake that I have, and then we're going to die. Stop speaking death into your life. I'm going to let you finish reading the account, you Bible scholars. Those that already know, that's okay. But those that don't remember, read it. Your words can speak death or life. She said, we're going to eat this cake, and we're going to die. Now, right about now, I know somebody's saying, he should be very sympathetic. He should have some compassion. Say, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. He says, but now what I want you to do is do what I said first. Go fix me a little cake and bring it. And then afterwards, you and your son go get some cake. Now, this is where faith, just a little bit of faith. Faith, just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, but just use what you got. So somewhere in there, she must have mustered up that mustard grain seed of faith. Because the Bible says, he says, now, if you go do what I told you to do, from this day forth, the meal will not run out, nor the cruse of oil until the day that it raineth. The next thing the Bible says, she did just what the man of God said. Oh, I wish I had me one somebody that allowed us to get in your spirit. There are some times God will use the man of God, the woman of God, to speak into your situation. And they're giving you words that will bring life. She did just what he said. And guess what happened? Just what he said. Every time she went to get some meal, it was right there. Every time she went to get some oil, it was right there. Every time she had enough to make a cake, it was right there. Until the day that the rain came. You see, the Lord will provide. He will provide not only, no, so you've got to go back to the account of Abraham. He not only provided for the physical, but he provided for the spiritual. Mm-hmm. He provided that there would be a ram that would be sacrificed. That's the physical. But he's also provided in the spiritual because of his son Isaac. If you continue to go down, he made what we call a covenant with Abraham over in the 12th chapter. But now he solidifies it. Let me read to you that, and then we're getting ready to close. But I want you to see how when we obey God, when we do what God says, this will be the outcome. It says, and he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Brothers and sisters, guests and all visitors, where God sends you, he will provide. The Lord will provide. He's got exactly what you need, from the natural to the spiritual. What are your needs this morning?
What are your needs in this day? Can I get you to stand? There are many more examples in the Bible, but these two stuck out. These two, I hope, have made an indelible mark in your thinking today and in your heart. Because there are people, as I'm thankful to be live and in person with you, there are also those on social media, live stream. I can't see you, but I know you have a need. I know there are things pressing in your life, and you just don't know how it's going to get done. I'm telling you, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, eternal God, we are here today. We are standing here in your presence on holy ground. We sense that you're here, God. The ushers didn't have to usher you in because this is your house and you do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it, and who you want to do it through. Today, God, there's somebody that needed to know that where you sent them, you will provide. The Lord will provide. If God is speaking to you, particularly today, whether you be in person or on live stream, find your place on your bedside, on your sofa, wherever you're watching this, and begin to cry out to God. And I promise you, as you lift up your voice and you cry out to him, he will hear your humble cry. And while on others he's calling, he will not pass you by. If you're here in person today, come, the altar has always been open, waiting for you. Are you here today? All I know is that at the end of the day, it is incumbent upon us to understand that he is the God that will meet and supply all of our needs. And all means all, and that's all it means, from the physical, everyday things that you need to the spiritual things. He gave the gift, the greatest gift, life, and that more abundantly is here for you. But you have to receive it. If you've never repented of your sins, never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, meaning the forgiveness of those sins, today's a great day. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift. There we go again. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Are you here today? These are being anointed with oil, and what you see is just simply obedience. That's what this whole thing was about. We saw obedience and faith. They've been anointed with oil in the name of the Lord. The Bible says, and then let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray for these that are at the altar on today. You that are in your seats, if you would, pray with these. Pray with these that are here at the altar. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Dear Father, I gotta give you thanks, because Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise, because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise.